Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Lovely to have all of our guests with us today. And we're blessed to have you here with us. We thank you for joining us. It's a special day today, as we all know, Resurrection Sunday. And it's kind of like the grand final, the biggest event in Christianity, when we celebrate our risen Savior. Amen. And we're so glad to have every one of our guests here today. And please, you just be the guest the first time, and then we just want you to make yourself at home when you come back again. Be part of our church family. Praise God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Please keep Bishop and Sister Downs in your prayers. Bishop Downs is ministering with Brother Kent up on Coconut Island, which is right up near PNG, just a small community of 300 or 400 people there. And then there must be something about the tropics this weekend for my parents, because my dad's there and my mum's ministering at a ladies' conference in Fiji. And she's preaching her heart out over there. She's, before Sunday even came, I think she got there on Wednesday, and she's already preached 7 times. And she's still got to preach all day today as well, numerous services. But God is using her in a mighty way. Praise God. Amen. She's not only a good mum, she's a good preacher too. Colossians 2 verse 12. The Bible says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Who hath raised him? We are risen with him. Everybody say, risen with him. Today, straight after service, we're going to go down the back and we're going to have a baptism service. We've got 2 people to be baptized in Jesus' name, and maybe there's some others here today that haven't been baptized in the lovely name of Jesus. We would love to baptize you. The Bible says that when you were baptized, you were buried with him in baptism. Just as like as Jesus was buried, we must also be buried in the waters of baptism. And just as he rose again, we also are risen with him. I want to speak today just simply this: risen with him. Risen with him. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the tremendous presence of God that we feel in this place today. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, that we have hope in a hopeless world. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you hear us when we cry out to you. We thank you, Lord, that you are our refuge and strength. And Lord, you are a very present help in time of trouble. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you saved us, oh God. You took us out of the grave, oh God, and now we are risen with you. We thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Speak to us through your word today, and everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, today is a very special day, Resurrection Sunday, but if you take some time to think about Resurrection Sunday and the reason why we worship on Sunday, one of the reasons why we come into the house of God on Sunday, it's because it's the first day of the week, but also it is because Jesus rose again on Sunday. And so if that is one of the reasons why we gather every week to worship God, and we remember that he is resurrected, then when we come to the house of God, we ought to come every Sunday with expectation that Jesus is alive. Because after all, the reason we worship on Sunday is because Jesus rose again on Sunday. So every Sunday we come into the house of God, we must remember that he is a risen God, that he's not dead, but he is alive, and that he is in our midst, that his presence is here. And when we realize that, it changes our outlook. We should be able to come every Sunday with expectation that God is here and he can do anything. And somebody say amen. Amen. And so the resurrection is really a big deal. His death on the cross would have meant nothing if Jesus didn't rise again. If he died on a cross, the terrible death of a crucifixion, he would have died a good man who did good things, but he would have been a good man who lived and died, was buried, and we just remember him fondly. But because he rose again, it proves that not only was Jesus a good man, not only was he a good person in healing, but because he rose again, it proves that he was more than just a man. He was God in flesh. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was, yes, he was humanity, but he was deity as well. And he rose again. And so, and the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Look at this. God was manifest in the flesh. God put on flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on into the world, received up into glory. And so this is a special day. And this is the day not only did Jesus die, but he rose again. And because he rose again, it proves that our Savior is God Almighty. Amen. And so it's a wonderful day, and I don't want to make assumptions as to where everybody here today is in their experience with God or even their knowledge about what this weekend is about. But let me take a little bit of time to rehearse with you what we are celebrating today. God came in flesh, born of a virgin in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect life. The Bible says that he knew no sin. He was without sin. He proved time and time again that he was more than just a man, but he was God in flesh. He worked miracles. He showed signs and wonders. He opened blind eyes. He raised people from the dead. He delivered people from the power of demonic oppression and from demonic possession. There is no question that Jesus was the promised Messiah. The Jews have been talking about it for a long time. There is no question that Jesus was the Messiah that the Jews had been looking forward to. He came in flesh to deliver them from their sins. And what did they do? They rejected him. At the urging of the Jewish elders, who I guess saw their own positions at risk, at the urge of the Jewish elders, they encouraged and convinced the Roman governor Pilate to put Jesus to death. And they took our Lord Jesus Christ, and they nailed him to a cross. They watched him hang there, the nasty death of a crucifixion. I tell you, that was Friday, but Sunday was coming. Beginning at 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 a.m. in the morning, they nailed him to a cross. And at noon, at 12 o'clock in the day, darkness covered the earth. At 3 p.m., Jesus breathed his last breath and was heard shouting with a loud voice as he hung on the cross, "It is finished." Jesus yielded up his spirit and died. The Bible says that the earth shook. The Romans who were there crucifying him as he was hanging on that cross, they said to each other, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Can you just imagine for a moment standing there at the foot of the cross? Jesus said to them that were standing around, "No man will take my life from me. I will lay my life down." The thieves either side of him were also being crucified. And as they were hanging on the cross, they were struggling for their life. And these professionals in crucifixion, these Roman soldiers who were quite good at killing people on the crosses, they went up to those thieves and they,
They knew the Sabbath was coming and they couldn't work on the Sabbath, so they quickly went along and they broke their legs, which meant they hung. They had no strength to lift themselves up, so they dropped and they hung, which basically asphyxiated them. Then they went to Jesus, and he was already dead. So just for insurance, a Roman soldier walked up to the cross as if the day hadn't been gruesome enough. A Roman soldier walked up to the cross, took a spear, and plunged the spear into his side, into his heart cavity. The Bible says that blood and water came out. But there was no physical reaction. There was no flinching. There was no screaming. There was no heartbeat. There was no activity. Why? Because Jesus had already died. And so they had to ensure that he was dead before sundown because of their Sabbath rules, and that cruel soldier would walk up there and thrust a spear into his side, and then they wrapped his body. They put him in a tomb. And it was the custom that they would roll a large stone in front of the door. On Saturday morning, they're paranoid. They're saying, remember, he said that he would rise again. Now we don't want him to pull off any of these stunts. So they were ordered to go and seal the tomb around the stone. They ordered Roman guards to go and guard the tomb. And so the soldiers were there. And they went there, they sealed the tomb, the guards were guarding, they would have a watch where some would sleep and some would be awake. They wanted to make sure that the disciples did not come and take Jesus' body, and then everybody would believe that somehow he had raised from the dead. But early Sunday morning, I tell you, it was Friday, but Sunday's coming. It was Friday. And maybe you're here today and you're living on Friday. I want to tell you that Sunday's coming. We have hope in Jesus. On early Sunday morning, there was a great earthquake. The soldiers fell on the ground, and inside the tomb, something was beginning to take place. That dead body, by the power of God breathed into, the same power of God that breathed life into Adam in the Garden of Eden, the same breath came into the body of Jesus Christ, and there was a stirring, there was a moving, and our God, Jesus Christ, was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead, and he is risen. Jesus said in Revelation 1 verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys to hell and to death. I've come to tell you that Jesus Christ is risen today. He is risen. Clap your hands to the Lord. He is risen. The angel rolled back that stone, not so Jesus could get out, but so the disciples could get in and see for themselves. So they could get in, and when they got in, then they looked in, they could see the napkin folded. There was no body. But there was an angel there in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6. There was an angel there and said, come and see. Come and see the place where he was laid. Come and see where Jesus was laid, where they laid him when he was dead. The angel said, come and see the place where he was laid. But now he's risen. Now he's risen, the angel said, just like he said he would. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And that makes Christianity unique among all world religions. Many men set themselves up to be God, but only one God became man. Many men died and were buried. Many men wandered off and died in wilderness. Buddha rotted. Muhammad died in AD 632. But Jesus rose again. Jesus rose again. He is alive. And so Christianity begins where a lot of religions end. We were just starting when Jesus was hung on the cross. It all began when he died. You see, where Christianity picks up, where every other religion, they finished. It was a closed book. There was nothing left. But we were just getting started when Jesus died on the cross and when he rose again. I'm here to tell you today that we can be risen with him. We can be risen with him. And so we're not only celebrating what happened to Jesus when he rose again on the third day, but every single one of us who have been born again of water and of spirit, as Jesus told Nicodemus. We are also celebrating, as we saw through the cardboard testimonies, as we heard through the wonderful song and testimony that our worship leader, Brother Akbar, gave. We are also celebrating that Jesus delivered us also from death. This place is full of people who were in the grave, not a physical death, but a spiritual death, bound by addictions, their life ruined and destroyed by big problems that they faced, whether it was sickness, whether it was an addiction, whether it was a terrible relationship or abuse or neglect or whatever it was. This place is full of people who found themselves in a grave. But through the power of God, we stand here today, and they were able to come up and they were able to flip that little cardboard. That's what I used to be, but that's what I am now. That's what I used to be, but that's what I am now. How? Let me tell you, what a transformation. But it wasn't the power of positive thinking. It wasn't yoga. It wasn't meditation. No, no, no. It was by the power of Jesus Christ. Working Jesus on the inside, working on the outside, and we broke out of those chains. We overcame that addiction. We were healed from that sickness by the power of a risen Savior. By the power of a risen Savior. So we're not only celebrating that Jesus rose again, but we are celebrating that we also are risen with him. The resurrection. Some would say that the resurrection is a little bit too far-fetched. Some would say that. And the disciples said this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. They said this. They said, and if Christ has not been raised, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then all of our preaching is useless. And our faith is useless. I mean, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we're really just wasting our time. And if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, we ought to just go play bingo and do line dancing or something like that in church. And the disciples said, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then our preaching is in vain and we're wasting our time. Now, of all the claims that Jesus made, the claim that he would rise again was the most audacious. And he made it many times. He said he would rise again. Sometimes they didn't understand. In John chapter 2, verse 19, he said, destroy this temple. And he said, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. While he was hanging on the cross, the skeptics and the critics mocked him. He said, if you're the Son of God, then why don't you come down from that cross? If you're really God, why don't you call 10,000 angels to come and get you down off that cross? But Jesus had something much more spectacular planned. He said, I'm going to let you bury me. I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to let you bury me. Then I'm going to raise again 3 days later. And so did Jesus rise again. Now, there were hundreds of witnesses of the risen Savior. At the opening of the book of Acts, it says that Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. And so there were hundreds of witnesses that saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 6, it says that there were over 500 people that saw the risen Savior at once. Now, if there was a young boy down at Woolworths in Woden, and he stole a Mars bar, okay, and he walked out of that shop, and the police came up and they grabbed that young boy by the arm and said, hey, sonny, you stole a Mars bar. And he said, no, I didn't. And then 500 people said, We saw him do it. Not one person. Not two people. Not even in the mouth of two or three witnesses. But if 500 people came up to the police officer and said, no, don't listen to what he said. We saw him do it. We saw him steal the Mars bar. I think it would be a settled case. Correct? Marching 500 people through in front of that judge in the court to witness that, yes, we saw that young man steal that Mars bar. Well, 500 people in one go saw the risen Savior. He proved himself alive by many infallible proofs. And so, of course, experts in evidence, even at universities like Harvard, have looked into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was a Harvard law professor by the name of Dr. Simon Greenleaf. You can look him up. He lectured for years about evidence. He broke down lectured about how to break down a testimony and to determine whether or not a witness is lying. And after all of his studies, I suggest you read all about Dr. Greenleaf. After all of his studies, he said there is more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ than just about any other event in history. He said, we don't just have hearsay. We've got people that have written it down. That what they saw, what they experienced, they wrote it down. Not just one or two, but hundreds of people. And so we shouldn't be surprised that skepticism is about today. But skepticism was about at the very beginning, even at the cross, at the beginning with the Jewish Sanhedrin and Pontius Pilate. They were all skeptical. They're like, oh, he's not going to rise again, but just in case. When we put him in that tomb, make sure you seal it up. We don't want any pranks from those disciples stealing the body and pretending that he rose again. So they sealed it. They took some precautions to make sure that they would never be troubled by this man again. They crucified him. They buried him. They rolled a large stone in front of the tomb. They sealed it with cement. They guarded the tomb. But in spite of all the precautions, the tomb of Jesus Christ was empty on Easter Sunday. Evidence is enough. Witnesses are enough. But there's something else that goes beyond just eyewitnesses that clinches it for me today. Because not only did they see the resurrected Jesus, but they were willing to give their life for what they saw and what they experienced. And so we read in the Bible that when Jesus died, the disciples were there. They had followed Jesus for some time. They felt defeated. They had run. They were confused. They're thinking, you know what? We've given up everything for nothing. We followed this man and we had high hopes. And for it all to end like this, hung between two thieves, beaten and smitten and humiliated, pronounced guilty when he was innocent. A complete disgrace. So those disciples had to take that long walk home. That long walk home to a wonderful life that no longer existed for them. But something happened. Acts chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. It says this. It says, but that it spread no further among the people. They said, let us straitly threaten them. Let's stop these people preaching Jesus, that Jesus is risen, and that they speak henceforth to no man in Jesus' name. We want to stop these men preaching in Jesus' name. We want to stop them talking about Jesus. And look at this. And they called them and commanded them not to speak. Don't speak and don't teach in the name of Jesus. They said, quit it or we're going to kill you. Look what Peter and John said. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye. They said, you know what, we can hear what you're telling us, but we don't think we ought to do what you're telling us to do, because we want to do what's right with God. And they said this, they said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We've experienced it. We saw it. We heard him. We were with Jesus. We cannot help but speak the things that we've seen and heard. And so they went. Many of the disciples went and died a martyr's death. Why? Because they wanted to die for a lie? No, because they were dying for what they saw, what they heard, and what they experienced. They had experienced the risen Savior. And so Dr. Greenleaf said, not only do we have people who were witnesses, but we have people who are laying their life down for this truth. And there are still people all around the world, and we must pray for them in the Middle East, in Syria, in different parts of Africa, in different parts of the world. All around the world, there are still people that are dying a martyr's death. They're having their heads cut off, their whole families killed. Even in India, they are dying for the gospel. Why? Because they have experienced the risen Savior. They have experienced the risen Savior. And even today, as we had our wonderful testimonies, lives are still being changed by the power of a resurrected Savior. Death could not hold him. The hope we have did not begin at Mount Calvary. The hope we have began at an empty tomb. I've come to tell you that he is alive forevermore. If there's one message, and I'm going to finish in just a moment, if the musicians could come. If there's one message that is central to the Bible, it's the message of the gospel. Everybody say the gospel. Everybody say good news. Easter is the gospel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On Friday, he died and was buried. On Saturday, they were wondering what was going to happen. It was a dark day on Saturday. But on Sunday, he rose again. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And so, it's one thing to know these historical facts. That there was a man named Jesus who did many miracle signs and wonders, who died, was buried, and rose again. It's one thing to know the historical facts. But today, we need to know what that means for us. What does that mean for me? How can I experience the gospel in my life? How can I experience the gospel in my life? You see, he didn't die for his sins. He died for our sins. And we also need to die to our sinful life. We need to die to our flesh. And we do that through repentance. We die to our old life by repenting of our sin. It is that decision that says, I no longer want to live the way I've been living. But I want to live according to God's word. I want to follow Jesus. I don't want to follow the ways of the world, but I want to follow Jesus. And so the word repent means to turn around. Not just to turn around on the spot, but you were proceeding in one direction. But now you have turned around 180 degrees and now you're walking in the other direction. Once I was lost, but now I am found. I found Jesus is the way. We are walking in the way and the truth and the life. We do that when we repent of our sin, we turn from our old life. We die to our old life just as Jesus died. Jesus wasn't buried for his sake. He was buried for our sake. Why? Because Colossians, as we open, says that we are buried with him in baptism. And so he wasn't buried for his sake. He was buried for our sake. Why? So that I could be buried with him in baptism. And when we are baptized, we go down into the waters. And we are buried under the water. And the Bible says that when we are buried under the water, that we rise up out of the water, our sins are washed away. Remember? Death and then burial. See, the only thing you need to do before you get baptized is repent. To die to your old life. Because if I baptize someone that hasn't repented, it's like burying someone alive. You've got to die to your old life. When you're baptized in the water, your sins are washed away. That's baptism. And I respect people that have made, their parents have made a decision to baptize them as a baby. But we don't see that in the Bible. We don't see infant baptism in the Bible. We only see baptism in the Bible where people made a decision to serve Jesus and to repent of their sins when they were old enough to make that decision that they wanted to serve God, and then they were baptized. There's nothing like being baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen? And when you come up out of those waters, every sin has been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Once an old creature, but now a new creature in Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it. Jesus didn't rise again for his own sake. But as we read this morning, he rose again so that we can be risen with him. We can be risen with him. And that resurrection speaks of new life. Everybody say new life. And what's the first thing that when a new baby's born, the first thing the mother and the father are listening for? They're listening for the sound of life. They're listening for the sound. And when you're born again, when you are filled with the Spirit, when you are resurrected, there is also a sound. It says in the Bible that they knew they had received the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speaking with other tongues, a heavenly language, a new breath in our lungs, the Holy Spirit filled in us and overflowing, speaking in that heavenly language. The death is the repentance. The burial is baptism in his wonderful name. And the resurrection is when we have that breath of life, the Holy Spirit poured into our lives, God in us, the hope of glory. And so, a resurrection. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, Pastor, why do I need a resurrection? I'm alive and I'm breathing. I'm all right. I'm a good person. I got a career and I got dreams and goals. And, you know, maybe you're here today and you're not even a Christian and you say, you know what, Pastor, I know Christians. And I would say that my life is even better than some Christians, and I wouldn't doubt you. But unless you've experienced the resurrection power of God in your life, you may be alive in flesh, but you're spiritually dead. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The power of sin is greater than the power of self-will. So some of us, we've tried in our own strength to overcome the sinful nature. But the power of sin is greater. We can't do it in our own strength. Paul said, the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things I want to do, I don't do. But when we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that resurrection power, we have power over the flesh. We have power over sin. We have power over temptation. And that's why Jesus died. That's why he was buried. And that's why he rose again. And that's why you can experience that same power of God in your life. That's why you can be risen with him. And so maybe you're here today and you're like, wow, this whole church thing's it's full on. Maybe you're here for the first time and you've never been to a Pentecostal church. In Pentecostal churches, we believe in worshiping God with our voice, and if it's good enough for them to shout at a football game about a bunch of grown men chasing a bag of wind, then it's good enough for us to worship our Savior. And maybe you thought, well, it's a bit full on, these people, you know, and we allow the Spirit of God to move amongst us. And some that have come to church that have never been to a Pentecostal service, they say, well, you know, it was very emotional. Yeah, well. And one person once said to me, they said, oh, Pastor, all these emotional people. Oh, so emotional. They're so emotional. And someone said, Pastor, I saw people crying. I saw people smiling. I saw tears in people's eyes. I saw people dancing. I saw people with their hands raised. And one of them said to me, they said, Pastor, I don't know what's happening to me, but I think that emotion's getting on me. Let me tell you, it's not the emotion getting on you. That's the Spirit of God reaching out to you. That's the Spirit of God that you can feel in this place, drawing you. You say, I don't know what, I don't understand much about the Bible, but I know I can feel something in this place. I want to tell you, it's the power of God, and that you also can be risen with Him. You can be risen with Him. You can be risen with Him. Hallelujah. Yes, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be risen with Him. You can be risen with him. Colossians 2, as we started, says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Everybody say, risen with him. Risen with him. That's what it means. We can be risen with him. Let's stand in this place today. We're going to have a time of prayer at the front here. If you want to come and pray, come and seek God. Maybe you need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I know God wants to fill people with the Holy Spirit. If you want to give your life to Jesus this Easter Sunday, I want to tell you the power of God is here to transform. Now listen. Jesus rose again. There's something about his resurrection and the first place that he went. The first person who saw the resurrected Savior was a lady by the name of Mary Magdalene. What is it about Mary Magdalene that Jesus would rise again and go straight to Mary Magdalene would see Jesus? Where Mary Magdalene was somebody out of whom Jesus had cast 7 demons. And you say today, Pastor, I'm too far gone. My life is too bad. I can't be a Christian. No, the first person Jesus went to after his resurrection was Mary Magdalene. He showed himself alive to a woman out of whom he had cast 7 demons. Then one of the next people that he showed himself alive to was a man by the name of Simon Peter. If you remember, he was the one who denied him 3 times. He would have had a lot of reasons why he couldn't serve God and why his life couldn't be changed. He's like, well, Jesus, I failed you so many times. But Jesus went to him. I want to tell you, there is nobody that is out of reach of my risen Savior. He's reaching for you today. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. If you want to come to this altar, come and kneel at this altar. Come and stand at this altar. Let's give our lives afresh to him. Let's thank him for what he's done in our life. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can be risen with you. Lord God, that you died, that you were buried, and that you rose again. We thank you for all the wonderful testimonies in this place today. Oh God, testimonies of your risen power. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord as we sing. Come to this altar. Come spend some time in prayer. Before you go, come. Bow your knee at this altar and thank Jesus.